Welcome, welcome. This is a short video for the contributors to the new forthcoming Cambridge University Press book, Researching Language in Society, A Global Guide. So I'm just going to walk through a few things here in the shared Google folder. We'll be sending the link to this folder to you. If you don't already have access, you can just request access and we'll swiftly get that to you. Okay, so here's the folder. You'll see this as soon as you come in, and all the parts of the book are listed here. I'm just going to show you a few things which are quite important to understand as we go along. Now, the six main parts of the book, 1 to 6 here, these are not designed to introduce students to different areas of linguistics. That's not the purpose of these. The idea with this book is that it works with students on the process of assembling their project design. That's why the chapters are quite a lot shorter than in a normal textbook. We're separating this out into a stepwise structure, which has been specifically approved of by the publishers and praised by the reviewers. That's what we're going with. Now, in each of these subfolders, you'll see the different parts of the book. You already know which part that you're in from the invitation email that you received. So I'm just going to show you some examples in here. If I go into part one, you'll see all the sections of part one laid out. And I'll just go into the first one. And in every one of these, we've got a template for you to follow. But first, there's an overall map of the book to give you a sense, a little bit more detail of what I've just described. What are these six parts of the book doing in relation to each other, and how do they work together? So every single chapter begins with this same general information, and then there's some specific information for the chapter. For the part of the book that your chapter is in. So let's have a little quick look at this. Again, these are based on the sections of the project design, not disciplinary areas. So, and this, by the way, this kind of, the idea of this is that we're following a student on the typical way that their ideas progress. Typically, students have an idea of where they want to do their research, perhaps what kinds of people they want to look at, and generally only later do they start thinking specifically about exactly how they want to approach and analyze language. That's the idea here. So part one, as you've just seen, is about choosing different places to conduct your research, and they will have a look at some of these different chapters and compare, make their decision on that basis. Then on to part two, once they've decided on where they want to do their research, part two leads them on to thinking about different types of people. Ordinarily, we would refer to this as social or demographic covariables, what we want to compare to the linguistic phenomena being researched. I haven't said that so far, and we haven't written that here in the book because we're generally trying to avoid really complex terminology. This is aiming for maximum accessibility here. And as a general style point, you can comfortably write at a very basic level and not worry about seeming too rudimentary in your writing. This book is intended for beginner undergraduate students doing their first project in linguistics. And as I'll mention in a minute, there's plenty of scope to signpost on to other readings for more detail. So they've chosen where they want to do their research, and then they'll move on to part two, social factors, covariables. And we've got chapters each here helping students to think about what types of social factors they want to research and how they want to build that into their project design. Within each of these chapters, within each part of the book, what you'll find is the same subject headings. If you look at the other chapters in your part of the book, you'll find the same subject headings with the same word counts. It's really important that we stick to these same subject headings and the same word counts so that the student reader can easily switch between chapters, compare transparently different aspects of each, and make that orderly decision about their method on this basis. As you go along, you'll see various bits of guidance at the top of the template. There's some general style points that we have derived from the Cambridge style guide, and the Cambridge style guide is available as well. That's linked here. We've drawn out some points from the style guide, the most salient ones. You're certainly encouraged to read the style guide as well. That's linked just here on the Cambridge UP site. Something else to mention, this was already in the invitation email, but it's worth repeating. This book will be doing everything, as you can see, in Google Drive, and that means doing all of your writing here live in Google Drive. It's really, really important that you never take the chapter offline to write elsewhere. You might remember in the original invitation email that we mentioned how to deal with internet connectivity problems. If you go to the general admin folder here, you'll see those details from the original invite email in a document. And in there, you've seen all this before. This is the original email. in there, there's the link to the resource from Google for dealing with connection problems when you're working live in Google Drive. Even if you have internet connection issues, there's a method to resolve that. So it's really important. Never take the work offline. Keep it where it is, right here in this live document. Now, we are this part zero. This is for us, the editors, and we are leading by example. Of course, it's a little bit uncomfortable having your live draft available to everyone, but we are just as exposed. Here's our introduction to the book, and you can see we've got some scrappy notes here of stuff that we still need to read through, and some notes about what we're going to be discussing. It's not fully worked out, and that's really the point. It's fine to show everybody your work in progress. My point is that this Google Drive place here is not by any means a place for the finished work alone. It's absolutely a place to work and keep your live draft going along the way. Okay, so within each part of the book, the template becomes more bespoke as you go down. Here we're looking at the part one chapters template, the sections that are listed here. Underneath each section heading, there's some editorial guidance. Please leave that guidance there, these blue boxes, please leave them there as you're writing. Might be a little bit distracting at first, but it's very important to leave them there, both as a reminder to you and to help us as editors as we are overviewing the writing process. So just leave all that there. Some of them are rather long, but don't worry about that. Just leave them there. And again, attend to the word count for each section. Those add up to the total word count assigned to your chapter. In the reference list, we've got some examples taken again from the Cambridge University Style Guide, so you can see some examples there. And then there's a repeated link to the style guide for more details of references and lots of other things. If you're watching this video, then you already know, well, you should already know who your co-author is. We haven't listed those explicitly here. That will, of course, become clear in time, but we don't need to add names of everybody in here right now. Also, hopefully, you've already been in touch with your co-author, and now is the time to get back in touch with them and work through your template. Start thinking about how to go about the writing. So, back to the structure of the book. A little bit more about what's going into each part of the book. Parts one and two, where to do the research, and then social groupings. Part three, and this is a very important distinction that I'm going to try and clarify here. Part three is about the conceptual, if you like, somewhat abstract business of identifying features of language that they're going to research. Part three, identifying linguistic phenomena. So this doesn't involve the practical business of gathering that data. It's just a conceptual matter of understanding and identifying those linguistic features. The practicalities of how to gather the data are reserved for the chapters in part four. So the chapters in the different parts complement each other. Moving on to part four, you've got details of gathering data from different places, different resources, different ways of gathering data, and these are not dependent on the linguistic features that are of interest. The idea is that the student reader could combine different chapters from each of the previous parts with one of the chapters here. And then subsequently, they move on to parts five and six, which deal with the overarching sociolinguistic phenomena that they want to illustrate. Moving into part five, they might use this gathered data of whatever they've got to illustrate different, for example, here, different repertoires, language change, language shift. They could use all these different types of data to analyse these larger sociolinguistic phenomena. So the chapters here in parts five and six are assuming that the student reader has already made some decisions about those sorts of things, and they don't need to deal with those things. They can talk instead about broader areas of theory and other forms of argument that go into illustrating this type of broader sociolinguistic phenomena. So you can see the sections here that deal with those broader, if you like, panoramic assertions about language in society. Building a project using the constituent parts from the different parts of the book to ultimately illustrate some larger sociolinguistic phenomena. Part five of the book is about language use. Each one of these is a different type of language use. Part six is about language policies. Parts five and six are equally sized. They each have seven chapters dealing with different types of these overarching phenomena. So here's part six, analysing different types of language policies in governments, organisations, families, classrooms. So you're sort of building up a structure as you go through the parts of the book, the very basics, the conceptual understanding of linguistic features, practicalities of gathering the data, and then the larger sociolinguistic phenomena to be illustrated. That's the idea of this book. No single chapter is operating on its own. They all link together. With all of that in mind, you are absolutely encouraged to signpost to different chapters. And that's another strength of us all working together in Google Drive. You can all see all the chapters and indeed the live progress of all the chapters as we go along. Of course, that doesn't mean that you can cite each chapter, because of course they will change as the writing process goes along, but you'll understand at least the different sections of the chapter which come in the template, and you'll know what they're going to cover based on that. Okay, naturally we will contact you, all of you, as the process goes along, and you're very welcome to contact us with queries as we progress. With that in mind, our editor's details and contacts are here in the general admin subfolder. You'll see us all here. And by the way, in line with the focus of the book on balancing Global North and Global South, as you already know, in line with that, the editors also are balanced Global North and Global South, and indeed gender balanced as well. And we've aimed for that with the chapters too. You're recommended to contact the editor who first contacted you. We have tried to balance the number of chapters that we're each dealing with. Of course, if they're not available and there's something that's time sensitive, then you can contact any other of us. And in any case, if we need to, we'll contact each other and discuss queries as they come up. Okay, I think that's quite enough for now, and thanks for watching. This video will be linked in the folder as well, so you can come back to it. And as I say, you're absolutely welcome to contact us with any queries. Okay, enjoy the writing.